Blog Talk Radio.
Oh man, it's that time. Broadcasting from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Wild World. From the compound in Indianapolis, Indiana, the news mecca, as always, Dr. Henry Day. And our guest this week, oh, we are so honored, Poppy Figueroa, drummer for Beach Boys and More Beach Boys and Beach Boys and More Beach Boys. Yeah, he's done it all. It's going to be a great show this week here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, a big thank you to the SRI Label Group. They're our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Dr. Day.
Good afternoon, Mr. Batson.
How's everything in Indianapolis?
Well, it's actually kind of warm this afternoon. We're hitting around 97 on the wildlife patio here in Indianapolis.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's we've already had winter or summer. My gosh, we haven't had this hot a summer in a long time.
Yeah, and it doesn't look that well in the future either.
No, it doesn't. Absolutely not. So are you ready? Are you compelled to do it for us as always?
As always.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, sit down. Now time to take from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, along with the Wild World News cast, team, the distinguished, honorable, and always prompt, Dr. Henry Day in the Wild World News.
Hey, you're Larry the Animal Guy, aren't you?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let's start the Wild World News for July 1st out in New York, New York. The city's so nice, they named it after themselves. All right, well, sharks are the stars of the new exhibit at the New York Aquarium that marks a major step in the facility's recovery from 2012 Superstorm Sandy.
Oh.
Now, do you remember that? We had pretty much destroyed the facility there.
Yes, I do remember that.
Well, the new exhibit is called Ocean Wonders, Sharks. Now, it opened yesterday. While the work still continues on the rest of the aquarium's 14 acres, which have been closed since, you know, since the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on putting it all back together. It sounds pretty exciting. So for our listeners in New York, get out and see the new shark exhibit.
Cool. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Wildlife officials are investigating the deaths of dozens of baby hammerhead sharks near Kihei Lagoon. Now, close to 100 dead shark pups were found near the Marietta Sailing Club in Honolulu, Hawaii. Now, this is a really strange thing, and it has the wildlife officials kind of puzzled as to what's going on here.
That's what you would call fishy.
Yeah. But they're doing what they can. They're going to find out what the problem is there, whether it was some type of toxic algae bloom or what, but this isn't good. This isn't good for the hammerheads. Now, when I lived in Tampa, I used to fish in Tampa Bay quite often. Now, Tampa Bay is a hammerhead nursery. I never fished in Tampa Bay without catching a hammerhead shark.
Wow.
And if I thought they tasted good, I would probably have kept them, but I always turn them loose. I always wanted like about a 6 foot black tip shark because that's my favorite eating.
Oh, yeah, we've discussed that. Shark's pretty good.
Yep, one of my favorite things. All right, who's feeling better? Well, a great horned owl that was injured in a mudslide in February will be released back into the wild this week. Now, the mudslide knocked down the tree that the nestling was in, and so it was rescued, and you've done that a couple times yourself.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And
hello?
And those were barred owls, right, that you rescued?
Yeah, those are barred owls. We rescued two of them. We got blown out of the nest in the springtime with a tornado-like weather, and now they're flying free in Clinton Falls, Indiana.
That's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, bewares, beware. Bears beware in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now, Governor Matt Mead has signed off on the state's first hunt for grizzly bears in 44 years.
Oh, man.
So we want all of our listeners to buy those orange caps and orange vests and take them out and give them to the bears so that the hunters can see them and they won't get shot.
Yeah.
Okay, that might not work very well, but.
Yeah,
I agree. Well, a lot of people are pretty upset about that. So we'll see how this goes. We'll keep our listeners informed. But, that's just not going to work.
No.
All right. Now, here is something that's been going on for years, but it's a new idea in Savannah, Georgia. Landscaping goats. Yes, landscaping goats are being used as a part of a test program to clear vegetation.
Oh.
I don't know why they're testing it, because as we know, goats will eat virtually anything.
That's right.
And I would say that they're wasting their time. Just turn the goats loose and it'll be done.
Yeah, you're right. They will. They'll do it.
All right.
Been done before.
Authorities had to euthanize a bobcat that attacked and injured a man there in Bisbee, Arizona.
Hmm.
Now, as we always tell our listeners, you see an animal that's normally nocturnal, you see it out in the daytime, there's generally something wrong with it.
That's
if
right.
A raccoon, a possum, could be anything, mountain lion. But, you know, don't, if you see him, leave him alone. And that way he won't get attacked. And as we know, most animals that have teeth will bite you.
That's true.
All right, we're back to Honolulu. Now, it's all about teaching the children. Kamehameha schools. You got that? Kamehameha.
Kamehameha.
Schools have signed a fifth-year. They've signed a fifth-year safe harbor agreement with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to protect and aid recovery of 32 endangered plants and animal species there on the Big Island. So they're going about it the right way, educate the children, and that way they'll be able to take care of all of this stuff as they grow.
That's right. That's absolutely true. Couldn't agree more.
Well.
That's right, yes.
All right. Now, here's a great thing that's going on in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Now, a plant has been designed to treat radioactive waste to help dispose of it, and could start operating by the spring, they say. Well, this will take care of a lot of our problems with the radioactive waste. The plants will break it down. It'll be biodegradable, and we can release it back into nature. So this is a big thing. Big thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, don't mess with Mother Nature. This is going on across the United States, but Portland, Maine seems to be having a problem with caterpillars. Now, the residents are being warned that some of the cocoons are still full of toxic caterpillar hairs that will irritate the skin.
Hmm.
Now, as we know, you know, if you pick up a caterpillar and handle it, they have little tiny hairs on their back, kind of like the same as a tarantula. Now, when tarantulas get upset, they will they will brush the back of their abdomen and release a bunch of these little iridescent hairs that will stick in your skin, and it's quite painful. And I've come to find out for years they were using the tarantula hides in itching powder that you could buy at the novelty stores.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
you have a lot of tarantulas in your life. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. I've had the hairs, I've had the fangs, I've had it all.
Yep. Well, just be aware.
People ask what it's like to get... Yeah, well, people have asked me what's it like to get bitten by a tarantula. It's like getting poked by an ice pick.
Yep.
And one time I had a tarantula bite me, and it died the next day. So figure that one out.
All right, let's. Where are we at next? Let's see. We are off to Florida. Authorities say a teen was issued a misdemeanor citation for dumping a live two-foot alligator in a convenience store this month in Lakewood Ranch, Florida. Yeah. Opened the door, the alligator in, took off. Come to find out, the alligator just wanted some Gatorade.
Oh.
Yeah, a true story.
Yeah.
Now, local news. Have you heard? We have a new state insect.
We do.
Yes, it is the firefly.
Oh, the firefly. Wow. What a wonderful collection.
Lightning bug here in Indiana. Yep, I agree. It's probably the best I could think of at the moment. Yep, the firefly is the new state bug of Indiana.
Cool.
What else is going on with Indiana this month, you ask? Well,
what?
Now here's a pretty interesting idea. This month, Indianapolis invites us all to take part in a four-minute break to stop and count the pollinators. We're counting pollinators in Indianapolis. Now, it's the city's third annual wild pollinator count, and it's done by a nonprofit organization called Keep Indianapolis Beautiful, where everyone gets to go outside and pay attention to the pollinating species. Now, here's the whole thing. What you do is you go outside and you find a 1-foot by 1-foot patch and set a timer for 4 minutes. Then you sit back, relax, and take note of all the pollinators you see.
Well,
this could be anything from, bees are the most recognized pollinators, but butterflies, moths, wasps, beetles, ants, birds, bats, and even rodents help pollinate some of the plants. Now, why is it important to pollinate? Well, 87% of the world's flowering plants require pollination. The plants don't get pollinated. We don't have apples, grapes, bananas, vegetables. So that's why this is so important. So what you do is you get a count in your 1-foot area in 4 minutes, report it to the Keep Indianapolis Beautiful organization, and it'll help the scientists determine if we need to do anything. We need to help nature out a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Okay, well, it's about time to play Who's Gotten Older.
Uh-oh. I never do well at this game.
Oh, you do pretty good.
I always suck.
Mark Monteith did really well last week. I was surprised.
Oh, I know, Mark Monteith. Well, he's a media guy. He follows the media.
He has to keep up on this stuff. That's right.
That's right.
Okay. Let's start off with Carly Simon today.
Oh, no. Okay.
And try to be nice.
I will. Okay, I'm going to say 70.
Well, you're just a couple of years off. She turned 73 this past week.
Oh, well, she still looks good. I saw her on television just the other day.
Yes, I did too. She does still look pretty good for 73.
Yep.
All right. Now, you remember Ian McDonald of King Crimson and Foreigner.
Yeah. I have not a clue, but I'm going to guess 75.
Well, there again, you're just knocking on the door. He turned 72 this past week.
Well, hold on, Dr. Day, because we have our guest with us, and he should have the opportunity to participate in Who's Older Now. Bobby Figueroa is with us from the Beach Boys. Hello, Bobby.
Hello from sunny Southern California.
Yeah, I know. All right, we're playing a little game. It's called Who's Getting Older, and we try to guess the ages of these various celebrities. And I know with Bobby, I don't have a chance in hell.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Good afternoon, Bobby. Good luck. All right,
who are we guessing?
I should introduce Dr. Henry Day.
Oh, Henry Day. Hello. I'm Bobby.
Good afternoon, Bobby.
Good afternoon. How's everybody today?
Well, we're doing good here in Indianapolis. It's a little warm. What's your temperature like there?
You know, it's about the mid-80s here already. It's summer's here, you know, on something I look forward to all year, though. But so far, so good. I like it right around this temperature.
We're hitting
How about
97
there?
Here in Indianapolis.
Ha, oh, boy. 97. Now, okay, we're on our way. We'll be there next week. But for now, I kind of know how that feels. Many times
it's like Indonesia.
Yeah, well, we've
Indonesia.
Had to play outdoors in that kind of weather. So you're saying it's a little sticky?
Yeah,
a little muddy.
Yeah. Travel to the island of Borneo. That'll give you an idea what it's like now.
Or Guam. Yes, I see.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, Dr. Day.
All right, we're on to Chris Singer, Chris Isaak. How old did Chris Isaak turn this week?
Chris Isaak.
See, I did get a chance to run into him and work with him once. I'm trying to remember. I was doing the Larry Sanders Show on HBO, and I was a band leader on there for many years. And Chris came on the show one day, really nice fella. He helped me do my crossword puzzle. And let's see, he was a little bit younger than me. I'm going to say that he's going to turn 50.
I'll say he's probably close, 55. I'll say 55.
Oh, you guys, he's going to be upset. He turned 62 this week.
Oh,
wow. Dang.
Yeah.
Well, he wears it well, I'll tell you that. I've seen him lately, but I'm pretty sure he's a pretty good-looking guy, you know?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, we really were bad on that one, Dr. Day. My gosh.
I know. Well, see, this next one confused me, too. Patty Smythe. Or Patty Smith.
Patty Smythe. Oh, yeah. She has to be, let's say, I'm going to guess first, okay? Let's
yes.
say 65.
I'll say 68.
Ooh. Patty turned 61 this week.
Forgive me, Patty. Forgive me.
I only missed it by a decade almost.
Patty kind of looked like she was in her 60s when she was 19, so it's okay.
Wow. Yeah, she was a rock and roller for sure.
She had some rough years there. All right. Let's go to singer Glenn Shorrock of the Little River Band. Now, this one surprised me, too.
Oh, that one's the Australian group, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's make it do 48. No. Let me bump that up. Let me bump that up to about 53. How's that?
I'll say 58. I'm going
way off on this, and you are going to be amazed. He turned 74.
Dang!
Yeah.
Oh, Bobby and I both sucked this week.
Ah, dang it.
He's love to send you guys money for those guesses.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Unbelievable. Well, okay, God bless him. That's great.
Deborah Harry.
Deborah Harry. Oh, my goodness.
110.
Well, she was, I think, Blondie. Man, she was really great in that. And then I'm thinking, he's probably about, you know, 65.
I'm saying 110.
Wow, I'm surprised Debbie turned 73 today.
Oh, well, that was pretty close.
You did better than me. All
right. Drummer Ian Pace of Deep Purple.
Deep Purple.
Oh.
Okay, now we're talking there. Let's see. Deep Purple was around when I was still before Beach Boys. So let's say that he's 70.
Oh, I think he's really close. I'll say 75.
Well, Bobby hit it right on the head. He turned 70.
Yay, I got one.
He won.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tell him what he's won.
All right, last one. Singer Colin Hay of Men at Work.
Oh, yes. I worked with him on the Larry Sanders Show, too, coincidentally. Let's see. He was about 68.
I think Bobby's pretty close. I'll say 69.
Well, he actually turned 65 this past week.
That's cool, though. That's cool. Yeah, he was really super nice. He was a big Brian Wilson fan, too.
Oh, man.
As we all are.
Yes. All right, let's go with the thoughts of the day, and we'll bring Bobby on. Okay, until the 1960s, the only reliable pregnancy test was to inject a woman's urine into a female African clawed frog. Now, if the woman was pregnant, the frog would ovulate within 12 hours. Yes.
Wow,
really?
Wow, that's a heck of a thing. I think it's better just to wait and see. If you gotta go find an African frog somewhere, that'd be kind of tough.
Yeah,
poor frog.
Yeah. Well, that's the wild world news for July 1st.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, and this beautiful knotty pine paneling in the main studio just looks fantastic. And the SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music. Rock, jazz, blues, country, it's all there. Artists and their classic recordings, such as Best of ELO, Little Richard Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands of recordings available for download or just to listen to. Explore an amazing music collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out, srirecords.com.
Now you know that I'm going out west. I think that it's for the best. Hopes and dreams are what this nation's built on. They wrote me a letter back. Said, get yourself out here fast. We'll send for your things and put you in a nice hotel. I knew I was doing good. They typed it on an Underwood. My letter came all the way by U.S. mail. They said they could use a man who could read a set of blueprint plans. By the time you read this, I'll be flying over Indian Wells. And I'll be sending you a postcard from California. And I'll be missing you each and every day. They say it's cold out here in San Francisco, but the sun shines down. I tried you on the telephone. I didn't find you at home. The lines were down.
I guess this note'll have to do. Now leaving like this ain't right, but I had to take the morning flight. I love you, girl, and I'm already missing you. And I'll be sending
you. I guess this week, all
boys
from California.
California.
Back, beat behind so many Beach Boy recordings and live performances. Bobby Figueroa joins us here on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio, playing a little postcard from California with his old buddy Al Jardine.
Awesome.
Hello, Bobby.
Great song. Hi, how's everybody today? Hello, hello, greetings.
Well, thank. I have to tell you a little story. When Al was on the program, when that album or CD first came out, he got kind of irritated because we cut it off before Glenn Campbell started singing. He said, you should have kept it on. Turn that back on.
yeah. Al had a lot of great artists helping out with that record. And I was lucky to get to play some of those songs with him and along with his sons, Matt and Adam, at a few shows a few years ago when he released that. It's very good stuff. Al paints a great picture of California, doesn't he?
Well, he does.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, it's so magical. I told him that should have been nominated for a Grammy. That CD, that album was so spectacular. He wanted to hire me as his public relation person after the show was over. Because I said, that album is just fantastic. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I have to tell you, when they sent it to me, and I put it in my CD player in my pickup truck, and they kicked into that chorus on that song. It was just breathtaking. I thought, my gosh, what an amazing artist he is.
He really is, you know, and his voice is still as good as ever. You know, listened to him recently and having worked with him for so many years, it always amazed me that he just has this sparkling voice that, you know, really carried those harmonies really well.
Well, when we talked to him, he said he was kind of the George Harrison of the Beach Boys. He was the guy, you know, the blue-collar worker. It's always there, I know, always on time, ready to go. And, of course, he said you got to give the other guys credit as well. But I think Al Jardine was, in a way, the backbone behind that band.
Yeah, like I said, you know, his voice and steady rhythm was always something that they would sorely lack if he hadn't been in the middle of that mix. In other words, he helped to create that harmonic blend that they all had. It was remarkable to hear that. I remember the first time I was able to, when I first joined the group and back in 74, walking on that stage the first night and hearing those and realize, you know, Al wasn't in the middle of that, it would have a totally different sound. It would still be great, but it would not sound, he really, 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 you know, you could tell that it's the Beach Boys because of his voice being in the middle there. It was great stuff.
Well, what went through your mind the first night that you had a chance to play with those guys? I mean, legends.
Well, first of all, I had no rehearsal. I just, you know, walked on because I had only been hired the day before by Dennis Wilson, who, you know, said, by the way, you know, we want you to go on the road with us. And I said, when? He said, tomorrow. And so I just basically just walked in. But I was playing a lesser role, percussion, and a couple of songs on drums, but I was just astonished at what I was hearing and what I already knew I liked very much about them. I was liking even more. It just it sent chills down my spine. It's just the sound was just so fantastic. That was a great experience that first night. I was a bit nervous, but it turned out to be more fun than any. By the time the show was over, I was just having a ball, and I was excited that I found a great place to be.
Oh, you did. And I'll bet, you know, you've played with so many artists. What's the difference between these artists and what the Beach Boys do or did? Or
you know what? What I noticed was more like what they have in common. And to me, you know, they're all separate entities. And, you know, you can tell when you hear a really good artist, when you hear an Elton John, when you hear a Pete Cetera, when you hear different people that are just so very good at what they do. right? You just all automatically know who's singing that song. And what they all have in common is one thing, is that, one, they're very, very professional, and also they're so comfortable and know that they're solid within themselves. They don't have to shout it out. You could just see how confident, and, you know, the same with Carl Wilson, the same with other artists, you know, that could sing, and you could immediately identify as they're all very, very calm within themselves and very sure of themselves. They don't have to make a lot of noise to let you know how good they are.
Well, they don't, and the harmonies and everything were so breathtaking, and I bet just being a musician and having the opportunity to play with these guys just had to be amazing. Of course, even now you have your other project. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that Carl on God Only Knows, his voice on that is one of the most beautiful songs ever.
Well, you got that right. You know, the first time I heard him sing that, I was just... I wanted to cry because it was just what I was hearing was so pristine, so angelic. And he, you know, the amazing thing is he could do that every night. He had a level of professionalism that made us all want to step up a little bit more and add a little more and be a little bit better, because he could just bring it every night. He taught us all how to perform in any circumstance, be it small or in front of hundreds of thousands of people. It was just, you got the same Carl anyway. So it was like, you know, listening to that song in particular, it's always been one of my favorites anyway. Just a brilliant piece of music. Yeah.
I believe that was Paul McCartney's favorite Beach Boys song, if I remember correctly.
I believe he did. Yeah, I believe he did say that not only that, but that was the most beautiful love song ever written and recorded. Pretty much what he said, I believe it's published saying that, and many times over he'll tell you. You know, I listen to the different channels on Sirius Radio and different things, and I hear the Beach Boys and I hear the Beatles and I hear all my favorite groups on there, and it's just fantastic. They all seem, when it comes to the subject of Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys, you know, what a great and outstanding, groundbreaking song that was.
Absolutely. We're talking to Bobby Figueroa with the Beach Boys on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back. Just a short break. I think Dr. Day said he has to go to the little boys' room.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be right back on Blog Talk Radio.
Cantarle a toda mi gente un ritmo bien diferente que se baila como es.
Allí entre amigos cantando con la tambora, timbal y la tumbadora, Carlitos, Richie y Daniel. ¿Qué?
Stetson, and this is Blog Talk Radio Wild World. And the SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all kinds of music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It's all there, artists and their classic recordings. ELO, Little Richard, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands of recordings available for download. Or, hey, check this out. Just listen to them. Man, unbelievable. Explore an amazing music collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out today, srirecords.com. Our guest, Bobby Figueroa with the Beach Boys. And I have to tell you, Bobby, I was talking with the wife, and I mentioned that you're also an actor, and you've done General Hospital. Well,
yes.
My wife proceeded to tell me she used to have a barbershop in Indianapolis that when General Hospital came on, all the guys sitting in the barbershop had her turn the radio down and turn the TV up. They were glued to General Hospital.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah, believe it or not, I actually had a character name on there. It was Pete, the technician. In other words, mm-hmm. I was a janitor. But I had a few lines on there, and I got along very good with everybody on that set. So I actually worked on that show for, you know, a couple of years, and they began to trust me and let me talk every once in a while. So it was a great experience. It's really a different world, the soap opera world. It's really an amazing thing. One of the things I got to do was pretty cool.
I can remember years ago I was in Los Angeles doing a commercial for Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom or Mutual of Omaha Insurance. And there was a young actor there named Harry Woods, who's a soap opera actor. And we were talking. I was telling him how much my wife enjoyed the soaps. And he said, mm-hmm. The key to the acting is hit your spot, deliver the line. If you can do that without a million takes, you're in.
It's an amazing thing. There's little marks on the floor that you don't see that gets, you know, set up before your shot. And you actually, you'll have a specific color of tape. And, of course, they never show the floor, so you don't see it when you're watching the show. But it's pretty much as close to live TV as you can get. They just go right on there, and you have to be on that spot because it's lit properly and the lens is focused properly. And it's a technical little thing, but it's very, very important. Yeah, it's very true.
Wow. Well... I'll bet it sounds like fun. It's something for your resume. Absolutely.
Oh, sure. You know, besides that, I did, I was a bodyguard for the Bugsy Siegel mob in the movie Bugsy. I was with them for 5 weeks doing shots, you know, around L.A. And was supposed to be in Havana, New York, and L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And so they outfitted me with all these, you know, vintage clothing. They were real clothing from the 30s. And they fit me, you know, with New York wintertime and a Havana and a Los Angeles kind of thing, because wherever they went, I went. So it was a fun thing, you know, doing that with Ben Kingsley so many great actors around there. I can't even remember them all, but it was quite a fun 5 weeks. I remember the food was fantastic.
Oh yeah, catering is very important in that business.
Warren Beatty made sure we had really good stuff. 5-star catering, it was fantastic. And
what was Warren like?
It was a fun trip. Warren was very cool. He's everything you think Warren would be. You know, he's personable, you know, and very sharp. It was his show, so he was constantly working, very focused on everything that he had to do playing, you know, Benjamin Siegel, the gangster.
Mm-hmm.
He just really was a dedicated actor, very, very, you know, but lighthearted and skipping around and, you know, talking to folks but very at the same time, you know, we got to get this work done. We need to do this. And a very serious actor, but at the same time, you know, it was fun being there because he caught up with us every now and then, and Ben Kingsley having lunch with them. It was quite a thing, because Ben had just won the Academy Award for Gandhi, and here I was sitting next to him, with, you know, and I used to call him Gandhi the Gangster, because there he was. Meyer Lansky, you know, the only one of them that never went to jail or got caught or anything, and Warren Beatty, you know, these two icons of, you know, Hollywood in the film industry, one from England, one from the States. It was quite something. It was pretty neat.
That's hard work too. People have no concept of how much work is involved. Well, I've always said being a touring rock and roll musician, or any musician touring, is hard work, as well as making movies.
Sure, you're on that set for 14, 15, 16 hours some days, and then you wake up and do it all again the next day. So there's quite a number of people involved, and quite a number of, you know, you don't want to make anybody wait for you, because it's very expensive to make one, first of all. And, you know, once you get the hang of it, just to be there before they need you, that's all, and be ready. Because you could sit around for hours without a thing to do, and all of a sudden they need you 10 minutes ago. So it's something you have to be aware of. Same with running a band on television, too. When I did the Larry Sanders Show for HBO, those five years of the run, you know, the band was, you know, an integral part. But, you know, you had to realize that the talk show portion of that show, which was, you know, supposed to be a talk show, or, you know, late night hosted show, it was kind of a spoof on it. And that only took up 5 minutes of each episode. So you would literally sit around for 6-7 hours before they'd say, okay, we need the band now, you know, and you'd have to just make sure everybody was still there and focused and ready to work. So yeah, it's very demanding, very, very demanding work, but it's not as easy as it looks. And, if you're lucky enough to get that kind of work, it pays to be on time, Sonny.
Absolutely. My gosh. And think of all the new material you guys had to learn constantly, I would think.
Yeah, it wasn't so much that, because everything was pretty much pre-recorded. We didn't have to we did some recording, you know, and then they would play that, because they didn't want the music overlapping on the dialogue. So you had to be very, very careful not to actually make any noise when you're on the set. Everything happened in the studio, and then you would go on the show and just sort of, you know, lip sync or mimic what you had done. So it was very important, and it's an interesting process to, you know, I had great musicians down there working with me, and then plus the guest artists were off the charts. You know, there were some really, like you mentioned, Chris Isaak and the fellow from Men at Work and Los Lobos, there were so many. There was just a list. Craving. Katie Lang.
Katie Lang.
She was on there as well. So it was just a who's who of Hollywood passing through those doors, because it seemed everybody wanted to be goofed on, made fun of. And, you know, Gary Shandling, may he rest, he was such a great guy to work with, too. He was very friendly, but he liked to goof on people, and that's what the show was about, just goofing on big stars all the time. So the guest list was incredible. It was the who's who of Hollywood.
That had to be the best part of the whole job.
It was. It was very interesting to see them and the artists themselves not mind being made fun of, you know. It was pretty incredible that everybody wanted that. Everybody was, I want to get goofed on too on the Larry Sanders Show. And it was just fun to watch. And all those characters, you know, Hank Kingsley and Rip Torn, Jeffrey that played Hank Kingsley, the MC, more or less the, you know, the buddy. Wonderful. They were all those characters that just exactly like you would think they would be. And it was a fun 5 years. It really, really was.
You've got an incredible project that you're touring now, this California Surf Incorporated. Tell our listeners about that.
Oh, yeah, this band, I decided to start this band a few years ago, and I said, you know, there's so many great players that I've worked with just within the Beach Boys organization that were just wonderful people, great talents, and I thought, well, if I could start a band that utilizes those people when they're not touring with Brian, when they're not touring with Mike, when they're not, you know, doing other things, because you know, we all have families now. We all have, you know, homes and stuff that we need to take care of. I said, there's all that talent at times just sitting there. So I got some folks together and decided to start California Surf Incorporated. And it's turning out very, very good. We're out playing around the country now. And people, you know, they get to hear I know that there's a lot of Beach Boy cover bands out there, but the difference is that my band, we were Beach Boys. We all were on the recordings.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
There's a kind of a big difference. It kind of sets us apart a little bit, you know, and the fact that we were on the recording. We were on the recordings. We did all the live concerts. We were the trusted members of the band that helped to make their sound and preserve their sound and promote it. And basically that's what we're doing now, is keeping the music alive. So besides us, you know, I encourage everybody, go see Mike and go see Brian and Al and those guys. It's, you know, we want to keep this music going. It's just such a fabulous, pure, wonderful thing for everybody to enjoy, not only in the summertime, but all year round.
Absolutely. And you play with all the renditions of the Beach Boys.
Well, you know, I started, like I said, in 74. Shortly after that, Brian came back. So I'm proud to say that at one point and for several years, I played with all the original members of the Beach Boys. Were all there. Everybody was doing well and singing well and alive in music. And you know, playing with that band was just such a thrill to hear that and be a part of it. And be trusted to lend your voice to that mix, and you know, Carl, that gave me parts to sing, and I had a couple of leads, you know, I sang Ceylon Sailor, and I sang Darlin' a couple of times when Carl wasn't feeling well, and it was just a brilliant experience for me. It's one of the greatest things I've ever done. I was really, really proud to be there. And I still am. You know, I'm still very proud to promote that music and keep it going.
Well, I would think probably one of the most humbling experiences would be playing that music and looking into the audience and seeing the expressions and tears from these fans that have grown up and just love that music.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. You know, you really, really nailed it when you said that, because the thing is that people would ask me every now and then, well, you've been out, you played 200 cities this year, you know, you toured all these places, television shows, all this stuff. They go, doesn't it ever get old? And I would look at them and go, you know, no, never does, because of the fact that when you go to whatever town in the Midwest or wherever you were in the world, Europe, Japan, you name it, and you would start that song for the 500th time, and you see these faces light up out there and go as they were singing to themselves or screaming out, that's my favorite song, you know, with so many songs that they did that were all hits. It was basically, the show was all hit songs. And when you see the faces light up, not only of the old fans, but the newer fans, the kids that somehow found out about this great music and showed up to see the band play and went, wow, this is great stuff. And it was a little something there for everybody, you know, wonderful, wonderful stuff that they were able to do. And so, no, it never got old.
Well, I would think the children, knowing the generations of kids that didn't grow up with the Beach Boys and had to be introduced by their parents, and to gravitate to that music so much and to attend a concert and to hear these songs live, I mean, there's not any feeling like it in the entire world, not only for the band, the vocalists, but also for the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the greatest high. You could never reproduce that with anything else except for being there and looking out this mass of people that were there to experience that, and knowing that that you it's time to deliver. There's no time for whatever was going on in your life to think about that. It was time to give them what they came for. And I think that's what Carl taught us all to do. Let's bring it for them, you know, big or small. Let's bring it every time. Fabulous stuff.
Well, that's so important because, you know, you've played the show hundreds of times, but they're only going to see that show once. And for that mindset going into the performance, that'll make every show great. I don't care who it is. They'll just step right up. And rock and roll profession's hard work, but gosh, what a glorious feeling you get from doing it. And because of you, Bobby, I think that my generation has had some of the best music ever, and I'm so glad to grow up and to thank you for giving us all this entertainment for so many years. It's pretty incredible, and to give us your time here today is just absolutely amazing.
Well, I'm blessed. I'm really grateful that you had me, and I always said that I was very proud to be able to do this, and I'm blessed that I got to experience that and bring a little joy to different people in different places and do basically what I love doing and actually make a bit of a career out of it
sure.
Make some people happy. That's been my goal my whole life. That's all I've ever wanted to do.
Yeah. Did you ever on any of your travels have a chance to meet the Kinks?
I did one day. Well, just Ray Davies. It was funny. We were in New York playing, and we had just played Central Park. And
yeah.
I was back at my hotel at the Plaza, and then I get a call from Carl Wilson, who says, "Bobby, you know, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm here with, I have some people here visiting in my room." And he goes, "Well, come over across the street to the Sherry Netherlands where he was staying. There's somebody I want you to meet." So I went, "Oh, sure, Carl." So I excused myself from my guest. I said, "I'll be right back. And, you know, order something if you like, you know." And I walked across the street to the Sherry Netherlands and went to Carl's room. And he opened the door. He goes, "Bobby, I'd like you to be Ray Davies." "Ray, this is Bobby Figueroa." And I was like, "Hokey smokes, this is fantastic. This guy is just the greatest. You know, I grew up listening to him. It was so great that there's so many opportunities. I got to meet people that I really, really admired and grew up listening besides the Beach Boys that were in awe of them just as much as I was. And I was
well,
in awe
I have
of
another
them.
Opportunity for you because I was kind of wondering what his brother Dave Davies actually thought about the Beach Boys.
Dave. Rock it.
Dave, are you there? Dave.
Is that you? Yeah, Dave.
I have a question.
I can't understand a word you're saying, Dave.
You've got weird connection. I can't cut.
Dave, it ain't happening today.
Oh, my God. Who is that, really?
Well, whatever you say, Dave. I don't have a clue what you're saying.
I think we lost him.
We lost him? Oh, well. Oh, I almost forgot. Hold on. You say he's gone for good? He's gone for us this week? Yeah, okay. Well, wait a minute. I forgot. Okay, that finished that up.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that could have gone
better. Sometimes we get a bad connection.
Yeah, we did get a bad connection.
Anyway. That's right.
Let's give California Surf a little plug. Tell us where you guys are going to be at, and we'll come and look at it.
We'll be here in California on the 11th and 12th of July. At El Mansur Court in Alhambra, California. You could also look at our website, California Surf Incorporated, to see we're always posting where we're going to be. We'll be in Florida later on this year. Again, we play Florida quite a bit. We just went through the Midwest
and did you know, Chicago, and in Iowa, a couple of cities in Iowa, and and ended up down in Omaha, Nebraska. So we like to get out there and play for as many people as we can. Just check us out on or look on my webpage on or Bobby Figueroa on Facebook. Friend me, and I'll always tell you where we're going to be. And we'd love to see people come out and say hello. Some that I have seen me play with the Beach Boys, and you know, remember me from the 70s and the 80s, and we've stayed friends, and we're out there just with a great group of guys. Right now, we got Randall Kirsch, Eddie Carter, who recorded with the Beach Boys in the 60s. He's been with them that long. We have Sterling Smith, who was one of Dennis Wilson's favorite keyboard players. We have different people playing with us from time. Probin Gregory just finished playing with us from Brian Wilson's band. We've had Chris Farmer. We've had a lot of great, like I said, I have a great pool of talent to choose from for this band. So you're always going to see a really, really good band. And we'd love to play for you sometime or just come by and say hello.
Well, that'd be fantastic. My goodness. What a wonderful guest, Dr. Day.
Bobby can help you feed the tigers.
Yeah, Bobby could help me feed tigers. Well, I could probably get
Yeah. Well, I love animals, you know what I mean? I've always been a big animal lover. I'm doing my impression of a giant sea slug right now as we speak. Just relaxing and enjoying my day off here in California and in the air conditioning and just taking it easy trying to watch the Dodger game. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing that you guys, you know, promote all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm a big animal lover myself.
Well, we're glad. I don't like anybody that doesn't like animals. Let's put it this way. What a wonderful guest. We want to thank Shelley Leibowitz with SRI Label Group for being our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio, srirecords.com. And to close out our show, we love him, Brian Wilson. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Bobby. Great show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, you guys. It was fun.
It's automatic when I talk with old friends. The conversation turns to girls we knew.
Hey, bye-bye.